What follows may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The world is full of stories. Stories of mysteries. Of curiosities. Of oddities. Join Kat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
All right, it's our first bonus episode.
Very exciting.
And this is just for you, the Order of Freaks. Nobody else gets to hear this.
Except for the dogs, obviously. They are in the room, clickety-clacketing.
Yeah, this is going to be a whole different kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have no stories planned.
No.
We're just going to get hammered and talk about stuff.
Now, you will, I mean, as you have already discovered, there will be some old faves. Intro music is the same.
Right, yeah, right. This is total, it's just going to be improv. This whole thing is just going to be...
I mean, let's be honest.
What?
Most of what we do is...
Well, that's true, but we don't have any ideas about what we're going to talk about.
I mean, I have some ideas. I know generally what I want to discuss. I first and foremost want to discuss this delicious beverage I'm consuming.
Right. And I wanted to point out that I'm one ahead of you, so I think you need to slam that down.
Yeah, but you also have a tolerance of like 19 to 1.
I worked hard for that.
I will have two of these before I'm not able to make full sentences.
You're drinking a Smiling Irish Bastard.
That's correct.
That is kind of our main craft beer go-to drink.
It's brewed by Gagans in Bangor, Maine, if you want to check it out.
And I'm actually drinking another local favorite, Mason's Brewing Company, and I'm drinking the Hipster Apocalypse IPA, which
it's very nice.
Very delicious. So I'm going to...
Can you stop?
Settle down, boys.
Get out of his butthole!
She's talking to the dog, just so you know. Things do get weird around here, but not quite that weird.
Okay, sorry.
Let's finish our first drink and then, or you finish your first drink, I'll finish mine.
Well, I had that half of the other one that I didn't like.
Oh, that's true.
So yeah. Technically, I'm approximately one in.
All right. Fair enough.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what we're going to do today is we're just going to, this is going to be kind of a freestyle podcast.
It's a break into electric boogaloo version of the Box of Oddities.
You're welcome, you children of the 80s. Let's set the scene for you. We are in our new basement studio in the house on the lake in Maine. It's Friday night. This will drop tomorrow, Saturday, which is maybe when you're listening. I don't know. So it's pretty current.
I've just returned home from a long day of helping people with chairs. And
first thing she says to me when she comes in tonight is, it's not, hi, sweetie, how was your day? The first thing she says, she comes in, she said, well, I just saw a duck in our yard, so immediately the theme from Cheers popped into my head.
Well, yeah.
Can you explain that?
Well, I mean, it wasn't in our yard. It was as I was leaving work, he was in the...
How do you know it was a he? Did you actually sex the duck?
I call most animals he. Not sure why.
Hmm.
So I was leaving work, and there is a green space across from my workplace, and there was a duck, and he was making his way near to where I was. And so I was talking with a friend and I said, look at that duck.
Yeah.
And they were like, yup. And I was like, look at him. He's making his way in the world today.
Yeah, I see.
You know, it takes everything you got, you know. And then all the way home, I was all,
sometimes you want to go and everybody knows. Yeah.
It, which is terrible because I hated Cheers. Hated it. And now I have the theme song stuck in my head.
Well, I think that you hated Ted Danson more than anything. I mean, you hated Ted Danson and everything he ever did until The Good Place.
I have to say, nothing's ever redeemed a person more in my eyes than The Good Place has Ted Danson. Though I gotta say, I didn't hate him on Curb Your Enthusiasm. But... love him now. Warm, gooey love feelings toward him now.
I lump him into the same category as Ed Begley Jr.
Mm.
now. They both have that kind of awkward, goofy, upper middle-aged man kind of approach.
I like him.
I like
him. I'm into it.
Yeah.
Hard. Yeah. I'm into it hard.
Are you?
As I think we can tell. So, let's talk about my planner. I'm obsessed.
Well, I was going to suggest that let's get things rolling by just talking about the first thing that's on our mind. And obviously for you, it's your planner. So let's.
Right. Well, because of all the things we have coming up.
We have a lot of traveling to do. And you've been blocking out hotel stays and airplane flight travel.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And my planner came with stickers, which I think is really the key to good organizational skills.
See, we don't have a booking agent, mm-mm, you know, for any of these live shows. We're doing them all ourselves.
Yeah.
And so that means a lot of clerical work.
Since and stickers.
I have no organizational skills, so that's kind of fallen upon Kat's shoulders.
Which is okay by me because I like writing things down.
And she's got broad shoulders.
That's right. I'm hearty like a stew. Anyway, so we have the live shows coming up. We're going to be in San Francisco. We're going to be in Boston, Charlotte, and Nashville. We've just booked DC, and we are in talks for some future dates as well.
Yeah, and because you're a member of the Order of Freaks, we're going to give you a little bit of a heads up on that. We can't say where it is exactly, but it's in the New York City area.
That's right.
We'll put it that way.
There's also some discussion about, and I'm going to keep this vague, Philadelphia. Oh, wait.
That's not vague at all.
No.
Philadelphia.
Cleveland's come up.
Cleveland. Also, Columbus, Ohio has come up. What else? Los Angeles.
That's right.
Yeah. That would be great fun.
You know, I would like to do Vegas as well. That hasn't been discussed formally, but I think it would be fun because I've never been.
Last time I was at Vegas, the highlight of my trip was being photographed with a hobo.
Yeah. Well, he had that sign that you thought was so clever.
Yeah. You see a lot of them saying, you know, please help, I am hungry. He had one that said, please help, I am hungover. And so I had to buy the guy a beer.
Obviously.
And have my picture taken with him.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's one of, I think, your all-time favorite travel photos.
It is. Yeah. I have it on coffee mugs and a pillow.
I think one of my favorite.
Thanks, Shutterfly. Can we talk about that for a moment?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody in my family loves Shutterfly, mm-hmm, and will go through our Facebook photos. And then at Christmas, we'll get like a throw blanket, mm-hmm, with our dog's faces on it and some embarrassing vacation photos.
Yeah. Now, Jay and I have very different outlooks on this. I love it. I am into every single photo item that we've ever received. If you're going to put my dog's faces on something, I am into it. It makes enough noise as it is.
I'm trying to be quiet.
I don't think that's accurate, even a little. You're doing this on purpose.
No, I'm not. How am I going to do that quietly?
Anyway, I love it. Please don't stop. Oh, my God.
You want my Shutterfly?
They're exactly the same. We have all the same shared photos.
Yeah, we do.
I think one of my favorite vacation photos of ours, and there are many, you know, I love travel. I love taking pictures. You may have noticed, like, all of the new episode posts that we have on the social meds, mm-hmm, they're all pictures that I've taken.
On vacations.
Mostly vacations, not always.
But trips, yeah.
Yeah. And so if you haven't noticed that before, you know that now. These are all just pictures that I've taken in various places. Not always, but I would say 99% of them.
Anyway, traveling about, that's what we were talking about. I got sidetracked with, mm-hmm, the Las Vegas hobo photography session.
That's right.
Which, by the way, is now going to be the title of this episode.
I think that's appropriate. Okay. Entirely.
Uh-huh. You want to go to Vegas, do a show in Vegas. Maybe we can get Jimmy Kimmel to book us at his club in Vegas.
Maybe.
He has a comedy club just opened.
That's right.
In Las Vegas. That's how the locals say it.
Is that how they say it?
Las Vegas. Like that. I have to say I love traveling with you, though. I really do.
Aw.
Because I don't know if you know this about me, but I can get a little jacked up about stuff.
Maybe.
From time to time. And Kat grounds me. And she reminds me to laugh at the world, especially when she's getting pulled over at customs and they're going through her baggage, which they do every time. What is it? You must fit the profile. You get pulled aside by TSA every time we fly. There's actually a video on my Facebook page, the Jethro Facebook page, about that. Yeah.
Well, usually it's because of the X-ray machine, and they're like, "You can't take that knife with you, ma'am."
Let's recap some of the items that they've confiscated from you.
Okay.
At the airport.
So most recently, my keychain,
which was one of those spiky knuckle punching things.
Yeah, it was in the shape of a cat, and I miss it terribly. Before that, it was a jackknife. It was actually one of my dad's jackknives, so I was a little sad about that, but I understood it wasn't their fault that I forgot to take it out of my pocket. I generally have a jackknife in my winter pocket, in my winter coat pocket.
Because you live in Maine.
That's right.
It's a survival tool.
It absolutely is. The time before that was Ecuador.
Yeah, it was a grenade launcher that your mom gave you that.
No.
I remember.
And you actually got pulled aside in a foreign land as we were getting ready to board. And they took you away.
They took me away. Yeah, they did. They came up and they said, Mr. Toth, yes, follow me. I'm like, okay. And this is like a customs agent in Ecuador. And our flight's boarding. And I look back and you look like a little puppy dog that's been left in a field by herself. And understandably, because you didn't know, do I get on the plane?
Right. I mean, obviously, I'm going to get on the plane because I know that's apparently how this works, is if we get separated at an airport, you're just going to leave me. So I might as well do the same.
Yeah, that's a little game I play when we have to make connections. More than once, she has lost sight of me as we were trying to get on like a transport vehicle, and she'll see me as the vehicle's pulling away inside, smiling and waving.
And I'm still standing there in the gate area, like, honestly, really, on our honeymoon trip, he left me in an airport alone.
You were lagging. You were lagging behind. You're a
That's
lagger.
That's not true. Not accurate in any way.
It's the most accurate.
You had gone over to get a snack from the snack machine, and you just happened to get out of the door faster than I did.
Anyway, back to the immigration in Ecuador story. They pull me aside. They take me away, not in cuffs or chains or anything, but it might as well have been the way it felt.
Well, that's
everybody's looking at me as I'm being escorted out of the lounge area by customs agents. They put me on a cart and they drive me around to the back of the airport hangar. And I'm thinking, oh, this is not going to... Visions of like the movie Midnight Express are going through my head.
I am not familiar with that movie.
It's about a guy who got busted for smuggling heroin, I think, in Turkey and was locked in a Turkish prison. It's based on a real story. It wasn't a good time for him. He had very little fun.
It sounds terrible.
Yeah, so those visions were dancing in my head, even though I knew we had done nothing wrong. But I was concerned, obviously.
Obviously.
So they take me into this secondary airport hangar, and they lead me to the back of the hangar, and then into a back holding room. And I'm standing there with like five other people, all Americans.
We make mistakes.
And I'm like the third guy they call into a separate room. And they bring me in, and there's your suitcase. And they say, this is locked. You need to open this. We need to inspect this. We saw something. You know, okay, great. So I unlock it. And they unzip it, and they open it up, and they go through it, and they found what they were looking for. This was the item that sent up the red flag. It was your can of dry shampoo. It was too big.
Yeah, what had happened was...
It was excessively large.
It was a regular size can of dry shampoo, and I forgot to put it in the checked bag, and I instead put it in our carry-on.
No, that was the checked bag.
There's no reason why it shouldn't have been okay then.
Different country, different rules.
Anyway.
I don't know. Perhaps it looked like a grenade launcher. Anyway.
I have been pulled aside because of those packs of like face wipes. They apparently look like plastic explosives on the X-ray machine.
Yeah, you have been pulled over so many times.
Yeah, I don't have great luck at the airport.
Not only last time did we fly, did they pull you aside and search you and search your carry-on. When we got to the hotel in Orlando, you opened up your bag and there was a ticket inside. They had actually opened up your bag and gone through your checked luggage as well. You really send up some red flags.
I will say that the last time we traveled was the first time that I'd had to have one of those full body frisk things. And the chica that did it was glorious.
She was great.
She was so nice. And she explained to me all the things that she was doing. And she told me like where she was going to be putting her hands and what side of her hand she was going to be using.
It was kind of hot.
And when there were parts that would have been like a little sensitive, she was like, do you have any, you know, sensitive spots or whatever? And then she was like, okay, and I'm approaching your vagina. And I was like, thank you. I always appreciate a heads up. So I will say that it was not a terrible experience. I was thrilled at how sensitive she was to the fact that obviously it's weird that a stranger is touching your body.
Right. Yeah. No, she seemed nice. That whole trip was weird. The flight down, we're sitting in our seats and you had the window seat and I was in the middle. And then the person sitting next to me was a fairly attractive middle-aged woman who looked like maybe she had had some plastic surgery.
Oh, that wasn't this most recent flight, though. That was recently, but not the most recent.
That wasn't the recent one?
No.
Okay, they're all blending together. We were going to Ecuador, I know that. And struck up a conversation with her because you had your eye mask on and you were trying to sleep. Actually, she struck it up with me. Where are you going?
Mm-hmm. She seemed very interested in you, what you were doing.
Yeah.
And you in general.
Yeah, she was pretty interested in that. Anyway, I told her we were going to Ecuador and that our plan is to retire there sometime in the next few years, spend winters in Ecuador. And she goes, oh, I live in Colombia.
Cool. You might be someone neat to talk to.
Right.
Wrong. Terrible.
First, she starts telling me that the locals in Colombia lack critical thinking skills.
Honest to goodness. Like, she said this about people.
Yeah.
Like just the general people from this area.
Yeah.
They're not so thinky-thinky, you know? Oh, it was terrible.
Yeah.
I was listening to this silently curled up in my blanket, judging.
And I thought, okay, maybe that's a slip of the tongue or whatever. But then she continues to drill down on that idea. Oof. And she's going into great detail, basically on why people in the area of Colombia that she lives just aren't as smart.
Oh,
and
it was awful.
And I'm like, really? You know, that's horribly racist.
It was so embarrassing, too. And considering, like, she was not, she was obviously a woman who thought of herself as being very high end, very upper crust, but she weren't.
No. And I think that, you know, we're on this plane to, I think the connecting flight was Panama. We're flying to Panama. And she's sitting next to another white American. And so I think she probably thought, well, hey, we can bond over racism.
It was terrible.
Am I right? Lack of critical thinking skills, huh? And I'm like, I've never seen anything like that in any of my travels.
It was really traumatic for me because I had to listen to this woman hitting on my husband.
Well, the hitting on me part hadn't happened yet.
While being racist.
Yeah. While she's telling me this, she reaches over and she touches my knee, you know, and I'm like, but it was just like a touch and go,
right.
I think she was testing the waters.
Absolutely.
A little bit, a little touch and go. And then she's continuing to say racist things.
Sure.
And apparently it's making her really horny.
I guess.
And so she reaches over and she's got these really long nails and she starts like raking the back of her nails along my inner thigh. And I'm like, not cool. So I moved over a little bit toward you and I nudged you and you lifted up your eye mask and you looked over and you saw what she was doing. And rather than talk to her, you put your mask back on and let her have it.
Yeah, I'm not getting involved in this nasty.
Finally, I said, ma'am, this is my wife. And please remove your hand from my thigh.
I was much more concerned about her being a white supremacist than hitting on you. That's not my concern.
Yeah, so I was hit on an airplane on an international flight by a white supremacist.
She was terrible. I just pulled my face mask down. That was rough. But that was an amazing trip because we got to go to...
Well, it got more amazing after that, yeah.
And we went to Quito. We didn't stay for long, but we did have that great pizza. And then Cuenca, where we went to a couple of museums that just blew my mind. I was sad, though, that we didn't get a chance to go to Loja, because that's where they have that museum where the giant is.
The giant, yeah. He's like 20 feet tall.
Yeah. So it's filed under their anomalies section. And this guy is like 7.5 meters high, which I had to ask the Amazon Echo how much that is, because I don't know meters. Mm. I'm from Maine. And I use feet and inches and very small percentage of my brain.
And grilled cheese sandwiches also.
And grilled cheese sandwiches.
As a unit of measurement.
So allegedly, this is a skeleton. I don't even remember how much 7.5 meters
is. It's like 24 feet or something like that.
And they're claiming that it's either a human or a primate skeleton. But it looks exactly like a human skeleton.
Well, Loja.
Except like 20 feet tall.
Yeah. And Loja in Ecuador is a little bit south of Cuenca, but it's up in the Andes. So it's still at a pretty high altitude.
Right.
I'm thinking Sasquatch.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's a South American Sasquatch. Slightly different than the Pacific Northwest Sasquatch, which has more of a reddish hue to its fur. The South American Sasquatch,
sure,
darker hair.
Right.
What was the name of that art museum, that alternative art museum in Cuenca, Ecuador we went to?
Extreme Art Museum.
Yeah, Extreme Art Museum. And the artwork was very reminiscent of, what's the guy's name, Giger?
Giger.
Yeah.
H.R. Giger, or Geiger.
We said Geiger, and then
that's the way I've always said it.
The Ecuadorian gentleman in Spanish corrected us and said Giger.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I don't know. It doesn't matter either.
He's the artist.
He knew what we were talking about. I knew what they were talking about. They did the things, and I was like, I get you. I see what you're doing there, sir.
Yeah.
I smell what you are stepping in. And it was magical.
Oh, they had some incredible art pieces there that I like. It was like you walk into the place, and you walk over what looks like an open grave. But inside is like an alien.
Yeah.
You know, you can look down in it, and it's glass, and then there's a grate underneath of it, and it's shaped like a...
coffin?
Like a casket. You know, it's got the angled edges to it. There's a difference. I just read that. Coffins are rectangular.
Well, then coffin nails should be called something else.
Maybe they are, and we just don't know.
No, we know, because we get our nails done.
This place was also... It wasn't just an art museum. It was also a nightclub. And what was the lady telling us? She was doing her best to communicate with us.
That the town hated them and they wanted them to leave?
Yeah, words to that effect. Most people do not understand what we're trying to do here. And we're like, this is great. Can we buy that skull?
That's a coffin-shaped nail.
Okay, I thought you meant like the hardware that people use to attach the sides of the coffins together.
No, like when you get your acrylics and you get them squared off at the ends, but okay. Anyway.
Any hoozle. And then when we left the museum, I was trying out my broken Spanglish.
Mm.
You know, I do my best.
You do real good.
And somebody had a dog, and they were playing a flute or something on the street corner, and they had their dog there. And I said what I thought was in Spanish, "Can I pat your dog?" And then you corrected me and told me I'd actually said, "Can I eat your dog?" And the response was not one of acceptance.
Well, some of our broken English did not translate well. That's for sure.
Like the time you told the guy at the grocery store that we lived in the park.
That we lived in the park. Yeah, yeah. That was embarrassing. Yeah. You live in the park. No. Spanish is hard.
On the way back, we had a 4-hour layover in Philadelphia.
That's where I was going with this whole giant talk.
Okay. And we thought, well, we got all this time to kill in Philadelphia. What do we want to do? Well, we've always wanted to go to the Motor Museum.
That's right. Life goals being met.
So we did. We checked our luggage all the way through. We landed. We had 4 hours to kill. We grabbed an Uber. We went to the Motor Museum and we saw another giant skeleton.
Yeah. This one was real, though. And
the other one could be real. You don't know.
Is known as the
trying to jam your square peg beliefs into the round peg holes of reality.
Wow. Square pegs. That was a show on...
It was. It was based on...
PBS or something like that.
No, it was a sitcom in the early 80s based on Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I didn't know. The skeleton that we saw at the Motor Museum was the Kentucky Giant, because he was acquired from the Kentucky area. But they don't even know who this guy was, like the origin of the American Giant or the Kentucky Giant. They don't know who he was or where he came from, which is so weird considering...
Kentucky Giant sounds like a great wrestling character name.
Oh, like Andre?
Yeah, but with a bolo tie and a hat.
I think it sounds like a great fast food joint. Come on down to Kentucky Giant. We're going to fill your hole with potatoes.
Yeah. I can see the billboards now.
Fill your holes with potatoes, Kentucky Giant. Kentucky Giant. They've got a great jingle. It's like just an old man, and he's just sitting on a porch, and he's all like, Kentucky Giant.
He's playing a banjo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he stops midway through to yell at the kids on his lawn. Come on. Cheers. Rah.
Yeah. So anyway, we go to the Motor Museum, and our Uber driver gets us lost on the way, which was nice because he was from Philadelphia, and we're giving him directions.
Yeah, but let's not be judgmental, since on the way back, we had a really nice Uber driver who you tipped, even though I had just tipped him, and yeah. You were like, oh, I forgot. And so we gave him like $40
in tips. $40 in tips, yeah. That was...
I'm just saying, don't be judgy.
Okay, yeah.
When you don't know how Lyft works.
I don't. I don't understand it at all. It was actually Lyft, not Uber. Anyway, so the Kentucky Giant guy, how tall was he?
He was...
47 feet?
I don't remember.
I think he was like 8 foot something, 8'11", something like that. You looking it up?
Oh, yeah. He was tall.
Yeah, how tall was he?
I don't know. I can't find it.
Oh, Willie. Willie has a... collapsing
trachea.
Yeah. And we mentioned that on a previous episode when we had to take him to the vet for that. He's doing okay, but occasionally he gets a little horky.
Motor Museum American Giant is 7'6" tall.
That's not that big.
What?
7'6"?
Yeah.
That's like most of the centers in the NBA.
That's cray.
No, it's not. That's not that big.
That's how tall he is.
Shaq is like 7'4".
Well, Shaq's not a human person. He's Shaq Diesel. And Shaq's 7'1".
Well, he's getting old. He's shrinking.
Okay, you're just making stuff up now.
No, I'm not. I remember one time, his first All-Star game, when Shaq was just a young'un, Bob Costas was doing the play-by-play, and he's talking about the size of Shaq's shoes, mm-hmm. and it's like 18 or something, and he holds up the size of the shoe
right.
that Shaq wears, and then Bob Costas takes off his loafer and puts it inside of Shaq's shoe.
Yeah, and Shaq's girlfriend is like this little tiny baby person. She's so cute and tiny.
How does that work anatomically?
I don't know. I try not to think about it too much
because
I don't think that's my business. But it's impossible not to at least cross your mind
right.
and go like, how?
Ooh. Anyway, good for them. I think one of the things that, and we saw so many amazing things at the Motor Museum.
Oh my gosh.
We saw the soap woman.
Right.
The corpse that turned into soap.
Yeah. I think
It's a full corpse, and it's she's just turned into grave wax.
Which is incredible. And the Motor Museum is one of those places where everyone who's walking in looks so happy and excited, and everyone walking out looks disturbed and, like, maybe a little sick.
Yeah.
And it's true. You can't, I'm like, I'm interested.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know about all of this shit. But at the same time, there were things there that made me feel a little queasy pants, McGee.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those things was that giant ovary cyst.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember that?
It was so huge.
It was like the size of a watermelon.
I know.
How?
I don't know.
And I had to go to the hospital once because I had a cyst in my ovary, and it was the most painful experience of my whole life.
And it wasn't the size of a watermelon.
It was not the size of a watermelon. It was so small, in fact, that they were like, we'll just let this take care of itself. Enjoy your day. And I was like, oh, I'm so glad I get to pay $12,000 for this. Thank you. I feel great.
What about the impacted colon?
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, there was like an impacted colon that was, seriously, it was like about 3 feet long. And I don't remember the diameter. I'm sure they cleaned it all out and stuffed it with something other than, you know, the original stuffing.
Sure.
But
like an Elvis colon?
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Wow. How do I not remember that?
How does that fit in a person?
I was probably still nauseated from the ovary cyst. Yeah,
I understand that.
You freaked out, though, when we saw the bullet that was still in the bone.
From the Civil War.
Yeah.
Being a Civil War buff, that whole room, I wanted to, like, bring a cot and stay in that room.
Yeah.
For an extended period of time. So many interesting things from the Civil War battlefields, and what Kat's referencing was a leg bone, like a femur, and it had a mini ball still embedded in the bone.
Yeah.
That they
had amputated, and this bullet was still in the bone.
Yeah.
And it was just on display.
Yeah, there it is with the mini ball.
Oh, this is what happened to this guy's leg.
Yeah. Back then, amputations were really about the only solution.
Yeah.
Because of the vast quantity, the sheer volume of how many people got wounded, especially when you're talking about a battle like Gettysburg,
yeah.
When you've got tens of thousands of people lined up with various wounds. If you were lucky, you got shot in the leg or the arm. If you got gut shot, that was a death sentence
right.
Back then. You were dead. They didn't even try to help you in many
right.
cases.
They were like, oh, yeah.
And if you look at old photographs of like the Gettysburg battlefield, you see a lot of troops, most in fact, their shirts are all pulled up.
Right.
And the reason is the first thing that these guys did was check to see if they were gut shot.
Because if they were going to move on to the next person.
Well, no, the soldiers themselves would pull the shirts up.
Oh, I thought that it was the helpy people.
No, the soldiers themselves, because the helpy people didn't get there sometimes for up to 72 hours.
That's
true. These guys laid in the field for days in many cases.
Speaking of helpy people, I found out a while ago, and this is while we were doing our genealogy, I don't know a lot about my mom's side of the family. So my mother's mother apparently worked at Loring Air Force Base as a nurse.
Loring Air Force Base, a now decommissioned previous Cold War strategic bombing base in northern Maine.
Right. And I know that she was kind of like one of those, you know how there's that like kind of thing that you might say about people who like hang out by the docks, you know?
Sex workers?
Well, no, not necessarily, but just like...
Okay.
People who made themselves available to...
Okay. Shady activities.
To activities, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know enough about her to say for sure that she became a nurse so that she could get her freak on.
Oh, my God.
But
really? Why? Why am I just hearing about this now that you've had four beers?
I am pretty sure that that's how it went down.
Really?
I'm just saying.
Wow. Vocation goals.
Not that I think there's any shame in that. I say get it on.
But you did not know.
No, I didn't. This is new information to me.
Wow. Interesting.
I still don't know anything about my mother's father, though. which is so weird to know so much about your dad's side of the family, mm-hmm. but not know anything about your mom's side of the family. It's weird.
Speaking of genealogy and DNA testing.
You've
probably heard us talk about.
We going to talk about this?
Well, we might as well, you know, because this is the back channel. This is the bonus episode. And, you know, this is not a commercial, but you've heard us talking about Embark.
Yeah.
And how we got the DNA tests done on Willie, and then we had it done on Banjo.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, you're probably going to hear this again on one of the regular episodes, because I'm going to tell everyone that I know.
Yeah, but this is not a commercial. This is just an amazing experience that we just had.
So
this was just yesterday this happened.
So we did the DNA test on Willie, and one of the neat things about this program is that when you log in and you have all the results, you can see other people who have had their dog's DNA tests done. And just like with Ancestry.com or any of those other like family tree websites, you can see the people that you're related to. So with Billy, we were able to see dogs that he was related to. And that was so much fun because you could be like, oh, that one looks like him or blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
So we got Banjo's results back. And we're going through the details about, like, what he should weigh.
Oh, that's cute.
And then we came across his relatives that were in the system. And we're like, oh, my God, okay. So let's see if there are dogs that look like him. Because that's, for some reason, incredibly thrilling. And we're scrolling. And here's, you know, Fufu and Flop Blop and, you know, Princess or whatever. And then we started recognizing dogs. And
Mr. Meatloaf was
the one that really...
Because you don't forget that name.
You don't. And I was like, why do I know Mr. Meatloaf? That's so... And so I went back to Willie's results and... Willie was related to Mr. Meatloaf with a DNA match of 48%.
Which is similar to an adult in humans, either a parent or a sibling.
And Banjo was related to Mr. Meatloaf with a DNA match of 46%.
Same type of thing, sibling or parent. Now, Mr. Meatloaf was not the only one. There were like four others.
That's right.
So Willie and Banjo...
are related. Guys.
That's the big reveal. To put it in perspective, Willie came from a breeder in Arizona.
Adopt, don't shop.
Right. We rescued Willie. But anyway, Banjo came from a shelter in Camden, Maine.
Yeah.
And it appears as though they have common ancestors in the Wisconsin, Illinois area.
Oh, my God.
It's so weird. It's so weird. What are the odds of that?
It was like Christmas. I can't tell you that I have been more pleased by anything in the past, I will say, 18 months. What do we have for time? We're doing great.
We're doing great. Well, I think most of this has been a discussion about traveling horror stories.
Racists and dog DNA.
Yeah. I wonder what Reddit has to say about...
such a sweet boy.
Travel nightmares. I'll bet that that's interesting. Let me see.
Well,
Here we go. Travel nightmares. The first one, I almost got beheaded in Jamaica.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, we're going to Jamaica in a few months, so that's very exciting.
Another guy wrote, I made the mistake of eating breakfast on an Aero-Mexico flight on the way home from Veracruz. Montezuma can eat a bowl of dicks. Oh, and here, okay. Oh. Yeah, that's not good. On an overseas flight, a passenger, I'm just going to sum this up, a passenger went into the bathroom and after finishing doing her business, she flushed the toilet, and for some reason it didn't flush, it reversed, and the sewage from the tank started rising up and overflowed, and she got out before her shoes were destroyed.
Oh, no.
But it was leaking out from under the door.
No!
And they had to smell it all the way to Singapore.
Oh, that's terrible. I'm surprised they didn't land the plane.
I would have required that they did. I almost did with the...
I would have required that they did.
I almost required them to do it because of the racist lady touching my thigh.
I understand. That's more than anyone should be expected to put up with.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I think the longest flight that I have ever been on was 16 hours. And that was on the way to Germany when I was young, and I was very fortunate that it was overall a pretty uneventful flight and that I was surrounded by really nice people.
And not sewage.
And not sewage. Honey. Oh.
Hey, isn't this just like you're sitting here in our living room with us? You get the inside view.
Right. It involves a lot of horking sounds from all involved. Yeah, no. The German flight was long. And I remember we were in the air for much longer than expected because of some sort of issue at the airport. And so we had to keep circling. So most of the time we were like over Germany, but we couldn't land. Mm. But the man next to me was very, very nice. I do remember I was like, I think I was 14. Maybe 15, and I had been separated from my friend who I was traveling with, and so I was just sitting with this random man, and he was an enormous man, and I remember being like, I don't know you, but he was nice.
Was he?
Yeah. Unlike that one lady. No, I mean, she was nice, too. When I was on my way to Michigan as a young person, I was flying by myself. I was like 13. And this woman apparently thought that I was very similar to her granddaughter. And she thought that it was important that we talk because I reminded her of her granddaughter. And mm-hmm. she kept trying to like force feed me cookies. And I was like, I don't want to eat your weird food. And I've always been kind of weird about eating stranger food.
Well, sure.
I have to have at least some understanding of your hygiene habits.
Well, certainly.
Before I eat your food.
I think it's wise to vet one's vittles.
Thank you. And then the man sitting in front of me had chicken feathers stuck to him. And so that was a really weird flight.
I can imagine. Yeah. Was it determined how the man got chicken feathers?
No, we did not chat.
Okay. Yeah,
we did not discuss that.
That's probably a wise decision. One of my first flights as a young person, I was 13 and I was flying to Boston from Bangor, Maine, and I get on the plane and it's one of those smaller commuter planes.
Of course.
Puddle jumpers, we call them. Two seats in each row.
Right.
And I'm sitting next to this guy. I have no idea who this guy is, you know, and I'm 13, 14 years old, and he's reading porn.
No.
Well, it wasn't reading. He was looking at the pictures.
Probably. He was there for the article, sweetheart.
Yeah, that's true. No, it wasn't a classy magazine. It wasn't like Playboy. No.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is true. And I didn't know what to do. I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know? But fortunately, the cabin attendant saw what was going on and said, Sarah, you're going to need to put that away.
I mean, honest to God, who needs to be told that? Do you remember the guy in Cuenca when we were there the last time who was looking at an adult magazine in the park?
Mm.
And there was like some sort of kids thing. They were doing a like some sort of field trip or something. And there were kids standing behind the park bench, like, you know, kind of laughing.
One of them was taking pictures with his cell phone.
And we were like, uh-oh.
Oh, man.
This is not good.
This is an educational day for these youngsters. My God. God.
This is not good.
Anyway, we should wrap this up. We've been rambling for a while, but we really wanted to just kind of hang out with you and make this a little more informal. And it certainly has been that. Yep.
I just want to thank you. Like, without being weird about it, I don't want to be, you know, weird or anything, but I think I just, you know.
Yeah, me too.
I just spilled beer all over myself.
Don't spill the hipster apocalypse. That's good stuff.
No, I just think it's really nice that you want to hang out with us.
Yeah.
And I know this isn't the typical episode, and please keep in touch with us via the chat and the Himalaya app. Yeah. And
do it on the back channel.
Right, yeah.
Because we will do our best to answer every question and comment.
For sure.
On the back channel. It's getting to a point where it's almost impossible to answer. Well, it is impossible to answer emails. We try to keep up with private messages on Facebook and Instagram, but that's becoming pretty difficult too.
And we love and appreciate you so much. And the fact that you are here saying we love and appreciate you too, it means a lot.
Also, did want to mention, you know, we do have our Halloween special, our second annual Halloween special coming up, where we take stories, your stories, and we produce them, and we feature them on, or feature some of them on the special. If you have a story you would like to share with us.
You tell the story.
Yes.
You record it and you give it to us so we can share it.
Yeah.
It's so much better when we can get it right from you, and you tell your story better than we can.
Right. And we will put descriptive music and sound effects behind it and hopefully try to bring it to life.
If you need a dragging chain, we will find a dragging chain for you.
We have several to choose from. I don't even know anymore. Anyway, I know this is unorthodox and this is not, you know, really the kind of show that we normally do, but we wanted to just kind of hang out with you guys a little bit.
Thank you so much for being amazing.
You're the order of freaks, and we do appreciate you.
And I saw this morning that somebody gave us another 99 cents on the Himalaya app, the tip jar. And it blows my mind that you're just willing to kick out another dollar just for what we do. And we love doing it. And I have feelings about it
I don't
want to get into right now.
I understand. It's probably best that we don't.
Something on this table is sticky.
It's probably your hipster apocalypse
you
just spilled.
It is not.
Anyway, once a month we will do a bonus episode. It may not be as free form as this, but it will be different and it is for you only. And we will see you then. Do you want to do the freak flag thing or?
Well, they're the order of the freaks.
Yeah, they're already flying their freak flag. Keep flying that freak flag.
That's the thing I say anyway.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Well.
We need to come up with something for the order of freaks.
I feel like, yeah, that's accurate. Because keep flying that freak flag is like something that I would say to someone who I was encouraging to be amazing and awesome. And I feel like
these people are.
Yeah. I mean, we don't have to get gross about it.
No, but you already are amazing and awesome.
Life's a garden, dig it?
Works for me. See you next time.
And so, let it be known that the box of oddities belongs to you. And its fate is in your hands. We wish to offer our deeply felt gratitude and appreciation for your patronage. TheBoxOfOddities.com. Copyright 2019. All rights reserved.